This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 23. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 23.
Daniel, chapter 6, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege to gather together in your house. And then, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this morning. We pray for the filling and the guidance of your Holy Spirit that you've called upon us to ask you for. And so, Lord, we know that you hear us, especially when we pray in your will, asking you to perform and to provide those things that you've promised. And so we thank you for that in advance. Lord, we ask that you would just guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, and that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, and that you would be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be drawn closer to you, and that souls would be saved through our lives, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "Because He Believed in His God." Because he believed in his God. God was a man that the Bible says was greatly beloved. And God loves us as well. And we want to be in this place here where we have this kind of a relationship where God is involved. But there are battles, there are trials. When we serve the Lord, mark it down, the devil's not going to like it. The world isn't going to like it. And the flesh isn't going to like it. When Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, the first thing that took place was he was tempted of the devil. Do you remember that? And so, and by the way, he was led out of the Holy Spirit to stand for God, to do those things. And so likewise also, God is wanting us to stand for him. This morning, God wants us to hear from him. You believe that? And it would be a great thing for you and I to want to hear from the Lord. He wants to speak to us. So this morning, as we consider our text, we're going to notice three important spiritual character traits that should define the life of every believer, and one biblical principle. We'll look at that. So Daniel had a working relationship with God, and the Lord wants all his people to have a faith that works for his honor and glory. He wants it to work in our lives, but we have to seek that out. That's not just an automatic given thing. God got our attention for salvation. We put our faith and trust in him as our Savior. Did God work in our lives? Did he save us? He did. And so likewise also, but there was our involvement, wasn't there? There was us seeking the Lord and engaging God. And so likewise also, God wants us to engage him. It is a reciprocal relationship. It's a back and forth. It's us seeking God and God revealing himself and giving us new truths that are applicable, appliable to our lives, that change and transform our lives to the life like his. Daniel did not have these things on his own. God was giving to Daniel all these things that blessed Daniel and also glorified the Lord. The Lord wants to work in our lives just like that also. So notice as we consider three important spiritual character traits and then also one biblical principle. The first one is an excellent spirit was in him. Speaking of Daniel, an excellent spirit was in him. Secondly, he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's a good Christian trait to have, a good godly trait. Then the third one was, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. That's the third one. And then as we consider the biblical principle, faith is proved in adversity. Faith is proved, our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is not proved when the sun is shining and everything is going our way. Our faith in God is proved when we don't have any, or appearingly, we don't have any hope in this world and we need the Lord, right? And so God wants to work in our lives this way as well. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And notice this excellent spirit that was inside of Daniel. Notice verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So Darius is setting up his kingdom. And he's wanting these people to be accountable to take care of the responsibilities of this kingdom. And so they were busy men. They had a kingdom. In fact, they had a world empire to run, didn't they? And so that they would be over the whole kingdom. And then notice verse 2, and over these three presidents, right? So we have this 120 princes, and then we have these presidents. He said, and over these presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Wow. We would call him probably like the president of all the presidents, or the premier. He was the one that was in charge, that was going to oversee everything. Why did Darius see fit to place Daniel in that place? And we don't know if he'd been maybe out of government leadership at this time for some time. Remember when Belteshazzar was on the throne, they were looking for Daniel. They didn't know exactly where he was at, and so now there's a new person reigning, and now he's put into position. So no doubt he had a reputation that went before him, and so now he's being put into this position. But the greatest possession that Daniel had was a relationship with his God. That was the greatest possession. By the way, the greatest possession that you and I have. Stop and think about it. What would you give in exchange for your salvation? What is it that you would be willing to sell God out for in concerning your relationship with him that's in this world? And I would dare say, not a thing. There's not a thing that we should want to sell the Lord out for. But I want you to take notice here of his commitment. So we find here an excellent spirit was in him. I am convinced God will give any one of his children that seek him for an excellent spirit, that God will give it. Because the greatest spirit, the excellent spirit that all of us possess in our day and age, since the time of the empowering of the church, is the Holy Spirit. That's our greatest possession that God has equipped the saints with. And so, secondly, as we consider this excellent spirit that was within him, this character trait, he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, look at verse 4. It says this, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion, listen, nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So let's consider these words here, this word faithful, which is the word aman, which means he was trustworthy. He was faithful. You could count on that individual to be where he needed to be and to take care of what was needed to be taken care of. And so he was faithful. Then it says also that there was no error, and that word is shalu, which means he did not neglect his responsibilities. He did not, he did not neglect his worldly responsibilities, and he certainly did not neglect his spiritual responsibilities with his God. And no doubt this is what enabled him to not neglect the worldly responsibilities that he had. So he was faithful, he didn't have any error, he didn't neglect anything, and then there was no fault, which is the word shekaf, which is corruption. Now, let me ask you a question. When these presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, do you think there may have been some corruption in their hearts and minds? They were trying to set him up. Maybe they had some ideas. They said, you know what? If Daniel were out of the way, we could run this government in such a way that we can tax more and we can hold back more and we can retire quite well. I mean, we could have us a little villa on the Euphrates. We won't have to work and our children won't have to work. And so maybe we can go ahead. If we got rid of Daniel, see, this Daniel, he does everything by the book. Amen? He does not like any idea of dishonesty or holding back, kickbacks, paybacks, or whatever it might be. Daniel's not for that. He's for doing everything upright and in good standing. And so they didn't like Daniel, and I think they had some other thoughts. There was something that was motivating them to get rid of Daniel, and that was because they were corrupt. And no doubt wanted to maybe probably take care of themselves or do things that were dishonest. Otherwise, listen, why do that? And we'll see their dishonesty play out here as we consider our text this morning. So he was faithful. There wasn't any error or fault found in him. And then we find verse 5. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel." This Daniel, you like that terminology? This Daniel, specifically this individual here, listen to what they're saying. "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel," listen to this, "except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So here's what they're saying. We have to create something that will cause a conflict in his relationship with the Lord that will cause him to where we can entrap him. We can't get him. There's no error. There's no fault in him concerning how he takes care of the king's business. But we must set him up concerning his faithfulness to his God, because they knew that Daniel was committed to his God and wouldn't bend. He wouldn't break the law of his God. So they were up to no good. And by the way, listen. God wants us to have that same kind of commitment. God wants us to, listen, that come what may, we will be where God expects us to be, and we won't allow this world or the things of this world to compromise. And so, they said, again, verse 5, then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion." By the way, do you think that they looked into Daniel and said, let's set him up and let's see what we can find against him so we can accuse him? The problem was that everything they could think of to come up with, everybody knew he was not guilty of. And so they said, "We got to find it against the law of his God." Verse 6, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever." Be careful when people are laying it on thick. Amen? Be careful when people are giving you compliments. Remember the Lord. Don't ever forget this. Hosanna! Hosanna, the Lord! Hosanna! And then what did they say the next day? Crucify him. Crucify him. Be careful about compliments. And so they got together and they said, "Hell, King Darius, live forever." Now listen to this, verse 7. "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, here's what they're saying. Listen, for 30 days, I am convinced that these people, the ones that were conspiring, they knew that Daniel wouldn't give up one day. But 30 days sounds a whole lot better than a whole year. 30 days, maybe they're thinking we're guaranteed to get him within the 30 days. And so, King, this is the decree, and here's Darius. Listen, as good as a man as Darius was, he liked the idea. You know why? Because it elevated him. It put him up on a pedestal, and he liked that idea. And so they said, hey, listen, if they petition anybody for 30 days. So verse 8, "Now, O King, establish the decree. Now, O King," don't think about it. "Establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius, what did he do? He said, nope, I got to pray about it. I better think a little bit about it. No. What did he do? He signed the writing and the decree. Just like that. He signed it and went with it. Now, to Darius's credit, he had no idea what was going on, but what happened was it appealed to his pride, unbeknownst to him. Unbeknownst to him, it appealed to his pride. Be careful when people appeal to your pride, because it will be your downfall. It will be our downfall. And by the way, notice what these people were saying, these presidents here, these princes, when they assembled together. Here's what they said, verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, this is what they're telling the king, and counselors and captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. Was that the truth? All of them? I think they left somebody out. I think they left somebody out, don't you? And so they were already dishonest in their proposition to the king. They were already lying, and Darius knew Daniel. But what happened was they were flattering him, and he completely forgot about his friend Daniel. He completely forgot, can you believe it? The one who he entrusted to take care of the whole realm over all of them. And he wasn't even in their midst when he signed a decree. Shouldn't there have been a red flag? Where's Daniel? These guys are coming. Where's Daniel? Where is Daniel? Something's amiss. Something's not right. But he didn't see that, see? So these conspirators got before Darius. They flattered him. And he didn't stop to say, wait a minute. Something doesn't ring true. Something's amiss. No, he went with his gut feeling. He went with the flatteries. And if we're not careful, listen, you and I can be fooled also. It's important. What is the rule? What ought to be the rule of the child of God? Should it not be the Word of God? If there is a conflict with the Word of God, if somebody overrides the Word of God, should not red flags go up and say, whoa, wait a minute. And even if we come up with secular ideas, should they not be congruent or in agreement with the Word of God? For sure, if there's a conflict with the Word of God, we would say, this is not right. There is a problem. So this individual signs, Darius, this decree. So now we consider he had an excellent spirit, speaking of Daniel. He was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And then the last thought here concerning the spiritual character traits is that he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now I want to stop right there. Does the Bible say that Daniel found out this information? Do you think they were taking care of all the details to entrap Daniel. Do you think they maybe said, let's make sure that these lions that the penalty is going to be about that they're hungry? Let's make sure that they're really hungry so there's no mistakes. Because sometimes lions, maybe they don't do anything if they're full. Let's make sure they're hungry. Wait a minute. If it got to Daniel after the decree was signed, do you think other people also heard about it? You know, you ever heard it through the grapevine? And so maybe, possibly, if that took place in our day and age, maybe somebody would go and tell Daniel. Maybe somebody in his day would go and tell Daniel, listen, let me tell you what just happened. You know, Daniel, here, listen, I know you don't compromise, but can you take a trip for 30 days to Egypt and you can worship God there? Because this is a detriment. So maybe people said, could you just make sure you shut the doors and the windows? Worship. See, listen, the flesh will always bring compromise. We'll just compromise the commands and our relationship with the Lord. We'll just compromise, Daniel. Please, Daniel, just go take a trip somewhere. Go. Hey, don't you have some business to take care of in Syria? Could you not just take a trip and come back in 30 days and it will all be good? But you know, these presidents and these counselors and these governors, they knew something about Daniel. That he was committed. They figured out that he would not leave. You know why? Because they knew that he fully trusted in his God. May that be said about you and I. And by the way, with God's grace in our lives and the leadership of God's Spirit, we will have the same commitment because it's the same Spirit working in our lives that was working in Daniel's life as well. We can have the same commitment. By ourselves, we don't have that strength. But see, there was a working relationship. And so what happens here in verse 10? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to Darius and demanded a hearing and to reveal that what was done was wrong. He went and complained and petitioned and pointed accusing fingers. Called them all in and said, "What have you done?" Do you think Daniel believed that God worked out all things for our good? Do you think Daniel said, "If it's God's will that I go home and to be with the Lord in heaven through the den of lions, that's where I'm going"? So when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened, closed the windows. No. I am not ashamed of my God. And so, with his windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, what did he do? He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did afore. Did you hear that? He gave thanks. He was getting ready to be judged. He was busy giving thanks. Amen. Is that what we do when we're in a trial? Thank you, God. You are in control. Thank you, God. When things don't go our way, thank you, Lord, that you are on the throne and I can trust you and I don't have to petition my case. I can just come before you and give you thanks because you're working even in this. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit of the Lord. And so he did as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Do you think they planned that? Yeah, they weren't looking for it. They were certain. They were certain it wouldn't go 30 days. They were certain, or they wouldn't have been there. They were going to get him the first day. Or at the very least, they hoped and prayed. Amen? I don't know to who they were praying. It wasn't the Lord. But they were wishing for this to take place. And they found Daniel just as they thought. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man, remember that? Within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, this thing is true. Notice what he says. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. See, he doesn't know what's coming. He's still, yes, and by the way, let me add to you the law of the Medes and the Persians that does not change. He's getting ready to see his mistake. He doesn't see it yet. You know why? Pride. Self-exaltation is at hand. And so, of course, it doesn't even alter. Verse 13. Then answered they. See, they waited. They wanted that confirmation so they can nail Daniel. And said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times. Did you see that? Listen, he didn't just do it once. He did it 3 times. 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, it came down, didn't it? Was sore displeased with who? Did you see that? Do you know what he knew at that moment? His pride caused him to betray a beloved friend. One who he placed over the whole kingdom. His pride caused him to sell out his friend. Do you know what our pride can do? Cause us to sell out our God. Peter's pride, and you and I have it too. And we can deny the word, knowingly deny. Did Peter know who Jesus was? But he denied him. You and I can deny the word of God. We can deny it. We can excuse it and justify ourselves and think we're right until Peter, the Bible says, wept bitterly because God brought it to his attention. And until God brings it to our attention, pride will be elevated and exalted. Can God bless that? Could God have blessed Peter in his pride in the midst of denying the word of God? No way. By the way, he can't. Listen, we can point fingers, but there's only one person the Lord's looking at, and that's ourselves. We can point fingers and say, this is why this is not going on. This is why that's not happening. God says there's only one person that you can look for it. And this king, Darius, looked to himself and he was sore displeased with who? Himself. And what did he do? He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored, this king labored, till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled. This was the time for the judgment to be fulfilled. The sun went down. It's the end of the day. Daniel's found guilty. The king knows it. And notice what happens. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Remember, he just chanted that. And by the way, remember, the king was chanting that for them. Yeah, I know that. I know the decree, and it doesn't even change. And how about now when he's hearing it, do you think it's like a knife going through his heart? Because he did it. Who was the guilty one? Darius was the guilty one. He was the guilty one. And here they come and they remind him of this poor decision that he made. And by the way, he made it, didn't he? The king made the decision. He was coerced. He was misled, even deceived. But he still made the decision. And get this, he didn't blame those men. Who did he blame? Who was he displeased with? Himself. Verse 16. Faith proved in adversity. There is always a cross before the crown. God will always honor those who place their trust in him. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, did you think he knew about his God? Listen. Thy God whom thou servest, how often? Do you think Darius knew about Daniel's God? Do you think Darius was an uneducated individual and didn't know what he was doing? Pride will blind every one of us. Thy God whom thou servest continually, listen, he will deliver thee. Daniel, no doubt, displayed in his own life a faith that Darius saw, that Darius, by the way, was touched with and impressed by because he saw Daniel's commitment. And he believed to a certain degree that Daniel had confidence in his God. But we see this here. Verse 17, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and notice, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Stone was covered up. Now, you know, I'm not going to say, I have no clue. I have no clue what that den of lions looked like. But we see some paintings that are drawn, you know, and Daniel's looking out a window. It doesn't say there was a window. Sun's coming in, and the lions are on one side. Maybe the den might have been a little smaller than that. Maybe he was right in the middle of the lions, not off to one side. But Daniel had his faith and trust in the Lord. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace, listen to this, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Listen to this. Then the king, okay, we're going to stop right there. He didn't even want the music to play. He had his own group of live musicians he could have had play for him. He didn't want it. He didn't want that. Let me ask you this question. When do you think Daniel knew that God spared his life? When do you think Daniel knew that God had spared his life? After the first 5 minutes? After the first 10 minutes? How about after the first hour? When do you think? I think God gave him that comfort and that confidence going in. Come what may, God, I'm in your hands. I'll trust you. I'm not going to manipulate with my hands. My faith and my trust is in you. I don't think he had any fear. I'm not saying he didn't know what the outcome was going to be. In fact, possibly, this is conjecture on my part, I would dare say he knew in a very short time, certainly after several hours. Here it is, ready? The king lost his sleep. I don't think Daniel lost his. In fact, one of the lions may have been his pillow. Maybe one of the lions kind of just nestled up to him. Why, is that beyond God to do that? Do you think God, my goodness, this is just a big kitty cat. When God's in the middle of it, this is just a big kitty cat. Maybe two of them. Maybe they were just, you know, just showing him no aggression at all. I believe that was the case. And so what happens here? Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. You know, one thing that we see here is Darius loved Daniel. Do you see that? He went to the den of lions. But he didn't love Daniel the way our Savior loves us. You know why? Because our Savior went to the cross for us. Darius could have said, somebody's got to pay, but he didn't. I'll pay it. And that wasn't God's plan. But I just want you to know that King Darius did not love us like our King Jesus. Amen? Amen. He went to the cross for us. And let's look at his faith. Listen, let's give him some credit where credit is due. At least he went to the lion's den. And he cries in verse 20 with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. That means he doesn't have great expectations. He has hope, but he's saying, what are the chances? And with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, he cries and the king says unto Daniel, O Daniel, listen to this, servant of the living God. Tell me Daniel didn't make an impression on him. Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Don't you know, those were the sweetest words in the ears of King Darius. I don't know what had transpired, but maybe you know what he thought? He thought, whew, relief. Amen. Remember, he didn't eat anything. He didn't want any music. Maybe he invited Daniel out for some breakfast. I don't know. But needless to say, he was excited about God's great faithfulness in Daniel's life. Do you know that's what the world needs to see? Our great confidence and excitement and confidence in our God. And so, he says to him, verse 22, my God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. But he waited till afterwards, didn't he? He trusted the Lord in the midst of the persecution. Notice verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Amen. That's our text, because he believed in his God. Do you know nothing can come to us? No manner of hurt can come to us if we'll believe on our God. I didn't say we wouldn't go through trials. I didn't say we wouldn't suffer bodily injury. But let me ask you this question. Was Daniel's faith harmed in his God? Was there any alteration in his commitment and confidence? In fact, I dare say it was strengthened. His faith in his God was strengthened. What do you think it did for Darius? Gave him faith too, didn't it? Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces. Listen to this. Or ever they came at the bottom of the den. That's what makes me think that den may have been a little bit smaller, because they never even got to touch the ground until every bit of them was broken up. They probably landed on top of the lions. Either way, but here it is. This account, some over 2,000 years ago, is penned down for you and I as an example of the kind of faith and trust in our God that God will bless. Did Daniel point a finger at anybody when they conspired against him? Or did he have his trust in his God? I would dare say, being the president over all the presidents and all of the other governors that were there, was a full-time job, wouldn't you? How is it that this man, that was probably busier than anyone you and I know, had time to pray 3 times a day? Oh God, that you might be that important to us, that we might call upon you, stop what we're doing. He had a place that he met with the Lord, didn't he? They knew where it was at. And it was in his house, wasn't it? That we might call upon the God of heaven to glorify himself through our lives. And the only way that can be said about you and I, it will be because we truly believe in our God. God says, come, doesn't he? Come unto me. Call unto me. Seek me. And he will show us great and mighty things. Can he do that in our day and age? But he expects us to do something, doesn't he? And that's to seek him. So God invites us even today, doesn't he? Does he still want to see people saved? He wants to use us to do that. But we've got to ask him to do it. I know it's pretty intimidating, maybe even awkward. But again, if God's in on it, and he's leading us, and we start seeing people getting saved, we won't be intimidated by it. We'll say, let's watch God work again and again and again as many people are brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But nothing happens without our God. And nothing happens unless we believe in our God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. Lord, this is your invitation to us, an opportunity to say, Lord, we believe in you. And Lord, we want to humble ourselves and seek you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul. And Lord, that we would turn away from our neglect and our wickedness, that we might seek you. But Lord, you must give us that understanding and that wisdom. You said you would hear from heaven and bring healing upon our land. And Lord, we need to see souls saved that you've promised. And yet, Lord, we don't want to hinder your will or work in our lives. Bless and guide us, Lord, to honor you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.